Good morning.
Good morning.
What a blessing it is to be here today, and how great it is just to be able to gather together and an opportunity to sing, worship, and hear God's word. I would like to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the ability to come together in this wonderful setting, to worship you, to lift up your name, and to learn from you. May we open up our ears and our hearts. May we absorb all that you have, all that you are, into our lives. And may we turn that into your dutiful works. May we be able to go into this world doing what you ask of us. And may we always be in your light. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now let us stand and join in singing hymn number 572, not 575. He keeps me singing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. May we continue to remind ourselves why it is we are here. We're doing this all for the glory of God. Let's continue our singing and our praise and worship with the hymn, There's Something About That Name, number 66, and we will be singing it twice. How great it is to be here, to hear everyone singing in unison and hearing all the voices lifted up. It is a joyful noise, and may we continue to remember that as we continue singing hymn number 90, The Spirit of the Living God, and again we will be singing it twice. Heavenly Father, creator of all the known and unknown, it is our duty to worship you, to honor you, and to bless you. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. May we continue to worship you every day. And we ask for a special blessing over this service, over all the words that are spoken. May we hear them, and may they change us. May we learn from them. May we go out spreading your love in all that we do. And as we go forth, we ask for your protection from harm wherever we go. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to highlight a couple brief announcements before we continue this time of praise and worship. And I'm going to ask Rachel. Next Sunday on November the 5th, we will be having our annual church charge conference. And you can see information about that about middle of the page on the back of your bulletin. And that will be held at Hayes Memorial United Methodist Church in Fremont at 3 p.m. If you are a member of Trinity, we would invite you to come out and be a part of our annual church charge conference on next Sunday, November the 5th at 3 p.m. Just want to highlight one other announcement before we continue this time of praise and worship. And as God's Spirit leads you, make note of all the other announcements. And as you are being led, be involved. And Tina, you have an announcement? Okay, all right. So thank you all to who helped, Henry and James and Carol, and I don't know who else helped from your family, Carol and Carly and Zach maybe. But Tables of Plenty is a monthly meal that is held at St. Michael's Fellowship Hall. And April and October are our months to serve the meal. And so we thank everybody, you know, who participated in reaching out to the community. Friends, that's one thing that we are all about. We're all about reaching out into the community and sharing the love of Christ with those in our world. And so thank you to all of you who took part in that. Lastly, I want to highlight the junior high Sunday school class, the SWAMP, which stands for Serving with a Major Purpose. They will be having a bowling party Sunday, November the 19th from 1 to 3 p.m. And so there's a registration on the internet, and so you can check it out up there as well. If you have kids or grandkids or nieces, nephews that would enjoy being a part of that, get them registered so they know how many bowling lanes to reserve. Any other announcements here this morning?
Okay. Jesus just put this on my heart, so I'm going to put it out there. I just wish, on behalf of my family. Thank you to everyone who said prayers this week. This is a really hard week. For those who do not know, the 8-year-old that was killed by the drywall was my cousin. And it's been a very, very hard thing. My Aunt Kay, that was her great-grandchild. And my cousin Greta, that was her granddaughter. She only has 2 grandchildren, and so one is now up in heaven with Jesus dancing. So thank you very much. It was really tough yesterday. But I just wish to say thank you on behalf of Aunt Kay and Greta and Ashley and Logan. And pray for Autumn, that's her little sister, because it's going to be rough. So still keep the family in prayers. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And friends, that's what we do. We stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ through things such as prayer. And we have been standing with you and your family, Kim, in prayer for sure this past week. And if you are here and you're not on the prayer chain, you can be placed on the prayer chain. You can see me. You can talk with Valerie Miller. She's in the back. And she can get you plugged in on the prayer chain, because it truly is a privilege, an honor, and a responsibility to lift our brothers and sisters up, you know, to the Lord. And so thank you, and we will continue to pray as well. Children's Church is now dismissed. Junior worship for those in kindergarten through 4th grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And let us turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
This reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, 14 through 23, and is found on page 1541 in your pew Bibles. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. At this time, will the ushers please come forward to receive the gifts and offering?
Our kind and gracious, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Just part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning, our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Continue our series titled Taking Care of God's Gifts here this morning, and we just heard the reading from the passage titled The Parable of the Talents. And friends, as far as I can recollect, in my entire life, I have quit one thing. And the account was this. I was in 7th grade, and me and my friends, we wanted to be the shot put and the discus throwers on the track and field team. And so we went out, and so after one meet, the responsibility was placed on us throwers to take the shot put and the discus to the away meets and bring them back. And so I don't know. It was because because I was better at throwing the discus than I was the shot. I always kind of claimed the discus as my own. And I would take it and I would bring it back, thinking doing what I should have been doing. And then lo and behold, the meet at Lakeview High School came about, and except when we got back, and I'll never forget, we're riding on the bus, and all of us four, there were four of us, we were in the back of the bus, and Brian looked at me, and I looked at Brian, and we looked at Mark, and we said, did anybody bring the shot put? Nope. I had the discus. I didn't need to worry about the shot put. You know, I took the back, right? Shot put is somebody else's responsibility, not my responsibility. And so everything went fine until we had to tell coach he forgot the shot put, to which the coach, he looked at us and he said, well, that's fine. We'll just split it up four ways and each of you will pay a quarter of the cost to replace the shot put. Well, something happened inside. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. Why should I, when I was responsible, why should I get penalized for somebody else's irresponsibility? And so it really burned my very being. And I went home later that night, and I mom and dad, and they're looking at me saying, well, what do you want to do? I said, I want to quit. True story. To which my parents looked at me, and my mom says, well, why do you want to quit? I responded, these meets up until this meet, I was responsible. I did what I should have been doing. And it's the irresponsibility of the other three guys that they can't even remember one thing. And now I'm going to pay for it. Well, it was a $16 shot put. Okay, so you do the math, it's $4. It's not like a whole bunch of money. It's the principle of the thing. And so parents, they looked at me and they said, if you want to quit, we'll support you. So I said, okay. I'm going to turn in my uniform the next day. So early before home, parents teacher at that time, and I walked up to him and I said, hey, coach, here's this. And he's looking at me saying, what's this? I said, it's my uniform. He's like, well, you're going to need that. We got a meet on Friday. I said, I'm not going to need it. He says, what, you quit? I said, yep. To which he responded, he says, do you know that you're doing this? I said, absolutely. Well, he thought I was bluffing. So then my mom taught elementary school in the same school district, and so he marches me right down to the office. He says, let's call up your mom. I'm looking at him saying, let's do it. So he picks up, and I hear the conversation one-sided, and he says, hey, I got your son here, and Teresa, do you know what he's doing? I have no idea what he said. But all I know is that coach looked at me and he says, well, okay then. People don't want to be responsible. We live in a world of irresponsibility. You know, we want to take care of what we want or what we're called to take care of. That's what's sad. And I don't know if it was me growing up on a farm where you got up at dawn, and sometimes before dusk, or and sometimes after dark. I don't know if that's what's cultivated that sense of being responsible in my very being or what it was. But friends, we have a society that does not want to be responsible. And sadly, what has happened is that very mentality has seeped into the church, where we have a consumerism mentality, where we come on Sunday and we don't feel like we need to do anything on Monday through Saturday. And so to that end, Jesus speaks the parable of the talents. He's basically talking about each man. Calls his servants, three in number, and he basically says, I'm going away. And I'm going to with these certain abilities, these certain things. Now, the scripture calls them talents. Now, a talent was this, and it was often measured by weight. But the value of a talent was equivalent to a 20-year wage by the common day laborer. So do the math. Working 20 years, one talent, that's what the rich man entrusted to all three servants. And to the first one, he gave five. To the second one, he gave two. And so you have 100 years worth of wages that the first one got. You have 40 years worth of wages the second one got. And the third one, 20 years worth of wages. And he looked at all three servants and he says, do my bidding. Do business for me while I'm gone. You see, we live in a time between verse 13 and 9 where the rich man is Jesus. And Jesus was so rich that he came from heaven, the wealth of all the wealthy, the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one who created everything. That's where he left. And he came here to earth. And then when he laid down his life for you and for me, and he was crucified, and they put him in a tomb, and on the third day he was resurrected, and he went away, friends. And that's why we live between verse 18 and 19. Our rich man, the God-man, Jesus the Christ, who is the richest one of all. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end, and he's all that is in between. He is so rich. And he has given you and I the charge. He's entrusted you and I to be responsible. You see, the fact of the matter is that many times we think that this is our life. We can do what we want to do. And then our spiritual journey gets pushed aside. And we don't think that we need to be responsible with what God has done for us. You see, if we truly believed that Jesus has given us the best gift, salvation, our lives would be totally ordered in a total different manner. You'd have Bible studies that would be packed full. You would have church pews that would be jam-packed. You would have people talking about God in the coffee shops and the donut shops. You would have people that as they went about, they would be doing God's business and his work. You see, verse 18 and 19, Jesus has gone away. He's the rich man. You see, when the other shoe falls, when the other shoe drops, that's when Jesus is going to come back. And friends, make no mistake about it, Jesus will come back one day. And if we are still here, we will have to give an account. And even if we are not here, if we pass away before he returns, we will still have to give an account of what we've done. You see, the couple truths that we need to understand about this parable, the first off is this, is that everybody, all people have been given some an ability by God to use for his glory. We get caught up in our world on, oh, I haven't been given as much as so-and-so. I haven't been given this much. Blessed they are. But the fact is God has given you and me something. Not one of his servants did they go away empty-handed. You see, when we dismiss what God has given to us, we are arguing with the creator of the universe and we are saying, we don't like what you gave us, God. I don't think you gave me enough. Not one of the three servants looked at the master and said, They all took it and they were responsible with it in their own way. You see, if we were going to be responsible the way that God demands. And sometimes we think he doesn't demand this from us, but there will be a day when verse 19 hits, when we stand before the risen Christ and we give an account and we are called to be responsible for what we've done with what he's given to us. What have we done with our salvation? Have we grown it? Are we opening our Bibles? Are we so caught up in the business of this world that we dismiss the spiritual business? What have we done with the material wealth that he's given to us? Do you know that America, if we would apply the wealth that we have as a country, we could eradicate much of the world's poverty? Are you aware of that? How selfish are we? Rough. And we will be held responsible for what we have done with what God has given to us. Our time. We all have 24 hours a day. When I was in the sales industry, I used to think, man, if I could just have 30 hours. Give me 30 hours in a day. And that would solve my problems. No, it wouldn't. You want to know why? My priorities were all jacked up. They were all messed up. My order of life was not the right way that it should have been. I wasn't giving God the first. I was doing what I wanted to do first off. And there will be a day, rest assured, I will give an account. That is the fact. We live between verse 18 and 19. And so what are we to learn from this? We understand that God has given all people a certain amount, a certain ability. Now, we are not to question why he's only given certain of us certain things or why he's given other people more ability than what he's gave me. That's not my problem. My problem is to take what God has given to me and to use it for his glory, to put it at work for him. That's our charge. That's our problem. That's what God wants you and I to do. He has given us the charge over this building. He has given us the charge over how we spend our time from the time we go to bed till the time we go to sleep. He has given us the charge how to grow our relationship with him. He has given us the charge in our relationships of our family. How do we interact with those relationships? He has given us the charge over our checkbook. And we're going to be called responsible for it all. Every single one of us. Every single one of us will stand before Jesus and give an account. So, the first thing, if we're truly going to be responsible, is we are going to be active. Now notice, all three of the first two, they went out and they employed what was given to them, 100 years worth of wages or 40 years worth of wages, and they used it to glorify their master. The third servant, we didn't read it this morning, but read it. Check it out. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Check it out. He went out and he buried it. Now, in Jesus' day, if you took something that was entrusted to you and if you buried it in the backyard or somewhere else and you were signifying, because that was custom in Jesus' day, you were basically stating that I am not responsible for what I have been given to be responsible for. Some of us have done that in our day, friends. We want everything to come our way. We want everything to be our way. With salvation, we have taken the gift that anyone could have ever given to us, the free gift of grace, and we buried it. We haven't read our Bible. We haven't prayed on a regular basis. We haven't rubbed shoulders with people who are out there learning and growing and moving and shaking for the Lord Jesus and expanding his kingdom. We just haven't done it. Yep, I'm in. I'm good. Are you? To the risen Christ, who has eyes like emeralds and looking at you and a tongue like a sword and feet of bronze. What are you going to say to the risen Christ sitting on the holy throne of thrones? You read the book of Revelation and it'll scare the heebie-jeebies out of you. It really will. And we can go through life hoping, but that day will come. Make no mistake about it, that day will come, and we can be active and active all get out, but we can be active in all the wrong things. You see, all three of the servants were active. The first two were active in the right and the proper things. They were doing to glorify their master, expanding his influence and his kingdom of wealth. And the third in all the wrong things. You see, activity for activity's sake is not good. Just to be active, just to do something, that profits no one. It burns you, buddy, and it doesn't advance anything. So we got to be active in the world. Wondering, what am I active in? Well, start with your faith. Start with your salvation. Be active getting in your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, then come talk to me and I will give you one for free. And before any of you kind of roll your eyes and say, oh, how can anybody in America not have a Bible? There are people in America that don't have a Bible. I meet them often. Start with your faith. Start with your salvation. start with God has given to you, the redemption of your soul. Read articles, read blogs, start with a devotion, read the daily bread, get them on the altar in the back of the sanctuary, start somewhere, talk to a more seasoned saint that is following Christ and talk to them and say, what can I do? Study. Get plugged into a Sunday school class. You study. Because friends, the best thing that God has ever entrusted to you and to me is the gift of salvation. It's His free gift. Done the equivalent of gone in the backyard and gotten a shovel and there it goes. Never to be dug. That's rough. You see, all three servants, they were accountable at one point. And the accountability came when the master returned, unannounced. You see, sometimes I think, you know, for some of us, we like to procrastinate, and we put things off. I'll get to that next day. I'll get to that next week. And we put things off. The master didn't call him up and say, hey, showed up. Twinkle quicker than you can click your fingers. 1/100th of a second, Jesus will return, and you will not have the chance or the opportunity. Oh, you know what? Okay, I got to get in my Bible. No, it's too late. You missed the time to be active. You missed the privilege and the honor to seize and redeem the time. So be accountable. Be active in the right. Purposes, the reasons, and the things that are correct and that are right that you and I need to be active in is about glorifying God the Father. You know, you make one question. Will this advance my relationship with Christ or will it hinder it? And if it advances it, you do. If it hinders it, it's God. That'll change. For the day. If what I'm about to say will advance God's kingdom, then say it. If what I'm about to say will not, then maybe we need to close our mouth. Active in the right things. The second thing is you be accountable. Be accountable to the living Lord Jesus because you and I give an account. So friends, when we talk about taking care of God's gifts, you and I are responsible. If you look at the rest of the that the does, he basically said, you know what, Master? I knew that you were a hard and a shrewd man, sowing where you don't own the ground and reaping where you haven't sown and this and that. He's basically saying, it's your fault, Master. You're the one that did this to me. I didn't do this. That's our world, is it not? It's not my fault I got by hot coffee. McDonald's never told me it was hot. It's true. Lawsuits, and you will be shocked at what you find. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. People don't want to be responsible. They don't want to take responsibility. And that's exactly third servant said to his master. And some of us will stand before Jesus, and we will try the same thing with Christ. But the burning eyes of emeralds will peer straight and it will joint from marrow, you know, depths from a being. Look into the very intent of why you say what you say. There won't be any escaping that. And you will stand. But Lord, and scriptures attest. There will be some that will come to me and say, Lord, did we not cast out demons and do all these healings? And did we not preach this? And he will look at them and say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Ouch. I care about all of you. I care about every single person that I minister to. I care too much to not tell you the truth. to let you wander through life and think that you're good when some of us need to have a tune-up. So the third servant, he tries to place the blame on his master. If we are going to be responsible, we must be active in all the right things for the right reasons, and that is to glorify God. The second is we must be accountable to the risen Lord for all that we do. I close with a fable from Aesop's. It's titled A Miser. A miser sold all his property and bought a mass of gold, which he buried in a secret place to which he made frequent visits of inspection. Someone who had noticed his coming and going found the treasure, and they dug it up and they carried it off. And when the miser returned and discovered his loss, he wailed and he tore his clothes in a frenzy of grief. Someone who saw him agonizing, once he had learned the cause, he said to the miser, "Don't grieve, my friend. Just take a stone and put it in the same place and think of it as gold in a vault. For even when the gold was there, you made no use of it." Are we making use of the gold entrusted to us by Jesus? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mercy, your love. We thank you for the ability that you have entrusted to us. We thank you for the opportunity to take those abilities that you have blessed us with and to use them for your glory, O Christ. We pray you would allow us to be active in all the right things for all the right reasons, and that our heart would be found to be faithful and yearning to glorify you, to expand your kingdom. Father, may we open ourselves up to be accountable, first to you, and second, to others. So, Father God, may you be glorified in all that we say, all that we do, as we utilize and use and do your business here in this world, in order that we should bring you all the more glory, for you and you alone are worthy. May we apply your word today. In the blessed name of the risen Savior, we do pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
As we close here this morning, let us stand and join in the singing of hymn 363, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Before we close here, if Mary, you'd like to please come forward. She's got some things she wants to share.
Okay. Pastor Max, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we have a chance to encourage you. We thank you that you listened to the Lord. You made that 180 in your life and was obedient to his call. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, and this is what you've done. You've gone out to preach the word, and we so need you to gently encourage us, correct us, rebuke us, and lead us in his way. We need that. It's so easy to get comfortable, like you said. And you left all of that to change your life totally, and we appreciate that. And it's like I was thinking, it's like, especially right now, because we're going through this valley of change, and you may hear us behind you grumbling and complaining, and because change is hard. And we're comfortable. And we remember, though, that you are out front. You're taking that first step, leading us. And you don't see it all. You're trusting in him. You're stepping out in faith. And that's what we need. We need to see that. And we thank you for being our faithful shepherd.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Mary. Thank you all. God. I'm glad you didn't do this before I preached. I might have not spoken the way that I did, so thank you. It's a privilege and a joy to be here to be in ministry with you all, and that's truly how I feel. I mean, we are in this together, and so Mary, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. You guys, each and every one of you are a blessing to me, and so I thank God every day as I remember all of you, and what a wonderful place for God to call me to. So thank you. Thank you, thank you. And as we close, may the God of all grace, may he bless you and keep you. May he fill you with his love and anoint you with his mercy. May he find you faithful and obedient as you go about each and every day that he graces you with, serving him and doing business on his behalf. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen. Amen.